WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is the Omega, the be-all end-all of this little show. And joining me tonight, Mace.
I have bacon chips, always good with the world.
I have a question for you.
No, bacon chips do not zap all the power out of the grid.
No. My question for you is, Rey Mysterio robs a liquor store with ostriches. What do you do?
Go, what the fuck did I just watch?
I think everyone has said that so far.
Yeah. For those of you who do not understand, I'm quite sure Omega will find the link, post it to us, so we can post it to you.
Oh no, it's in my favorites. You kidding me?
Anyway.
And apparently I'm supposed to ask our, you know, the host at the top, the one and only Tim Stein, how he intends to spend Family Day.
That's an American holiday.
Is it?
No, it's a February holiday. Not to be confused with Heritage Day, up here in most parts of the country of Canada, which is tomorrow, and I just like to tell Sir Rockin to go fuck himself, because he's a cocksucker. Thank you.
Another night of fine family listening here on the WTR Network.
Well, that's what you get when you tune in on Family Day. People are wondering, what the fuck are they talking about? It's a long weekend for most of the country of Canada. And, like a good Canadian, I absolutely pay no attention to something that's not like a major national regular holiday like Canada Day or Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving or Labor Day. And so I wasn't really 100% sure what the holiday day was. And Mr. I Know How to Work the Google Button informed me it wasn't Family Day. It was Heritage Day.
Heritage Day.
Yes. But as far as what the holiday is, Dilligaff doesn't matter. I don't get a 3-day weekend anyway.
That's not what Dilligaff stands for.
Do I look like I give a fuck?
Bingo.
Do I look like I give a fuck what the name of the holiday is that I don't get to have off?
Someone just reminded me of Shannon Moore. Thank you very much.
Well, that actually predates Shannon Moore. He stole it, Omega.
Oh, I know. It's just the only time I ever heard of it.
Really? Sorry about your damn luck.
Gee, haven't heard that one either.
Not recently. Of course, you don't really watch a lot of TNA, so it would be a new one for you, wouldn't it?
I watch a lot of TNA, just not on Spike.
I didn't mean T and A, I meant TNA.
Oh, that crap.
That crap. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. There you go.
Yeah, I can't jerk off to that.
Yeah, I don't really need to hear you talking about that. Really, seriously. I can't believe you said that.
Plus, if it's not on Skyrim, Omega doesn't look at it.
Skyrim? I hear that's a good game.
Oh, it is a damn good game.
Now, can you imagine taking one of the most popular gaming titles of this year and combining it with Omega's porn? Wouldn't they be calling that Skyrim shot?
Can we talk wrestling now?
Why must you ruin everything?
Because you fucking started it, and I just made sure it went straight to hell and didn't get off course.
Again, we have a show to do. Can we start there it now?
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us on a hazy, lazy, do-nothing Sunday. I would say hello to the people at PW Mania, but we're not posted there just yet. We're waiting for that to happen. Once it does, we might wind up with a couple of more listeners. But why don't we just kick things off with perhaps the biggest news on Friday night. Booker T, named General Manager of SmackDown. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't really hate this idea too much. What do you think of it, Mace?
I don't hate it either. It was a good idea, and it gets him off commentary.
That was my first thought, was he's off commentary. Omega?
No more shucky shucky quack quack.
No more shucky ducky quack quack.
Thank you, God. That was my first thought too. Oh my God, he's not going to be on commentary anymore. But it is still a good way because he's still a really good character to have on TV.
Yeah. So I guess the reports are that Teddy Long's going to be his special assistant or something like that.
Teddy's going to help him book tag matches.
Yeah, the tag matches will be coming back to SmackDown now. No, seriously. I mean, yeah, that's all funny and everything, but what is the likelihood that we actually might see a few more tag matches on SmackDown now?
Supposedly they are still interested in boosting the tag roster.
Yeah. That's news to me, really. Seriously. Boost the tag roster in WWE? Are you kidding me?
They could.
Yeah, and monkeys can fly out your butt, too. You never know, right? I'm laughing at that link because that's kind of humorous and people are wondering. Anything of noteworthiness about Booker T being named GM?
He has a very energetic personality, which is great for a GM role.
Now, how long before we all get really sick and tired of him saying, "Now, can you dig that sucker?" 5 times a show?
I won't, because I rarely watch SmackDown.
Well, you should watch it a little more, because it's got some wrestling in it.
No, I take a look at WrestlingWithTex.com, and that's how I get my SmackDown recaps. It's a lot funnier that way.
Oh, okay. I suppose that would work. Who replaces Booker T at the table?
I don't think... Do you really even need anybody? I always thought a three-man commentary team was a little crowded as it is.
Well, you know, if it's done properly, a three-man commentary team can work, and... The only person that they should get rid of is Michael Cole, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, I think that was the second thought everyone had. Thank God, no more Booker T. Oh, crap, they kept Michael Cole.
Yeah. But apparently, JBL has been messing around on Twitter, claiming that he's going to be taking over the commentating, the color.
He did good the few times that he's done it. He used to be a SmackDown commentator.
Yeah, and
plus, did it give us a reason to shut Michael Cole up?
There you go. Yeah, a lot of people really responded in force en masse to his tweet about coming back, you know, coming to SmackDown and joining the table. Apparently, it was all just a bunch of bullshit that he just threw out there, and he's not had any discussions with WWE or anything like that.
Which is a real shame, because it's actually a pretty damn good idea.
Oh, it's a fantastic idea. I think that maybe they should seriously consider it now that he's brought it up, just so long as he doesn't bring Maurice Ouellette with him.
I just saw the suggestion in the chat room. Get rid of the entire SmackDown commentary team and replace it with Joey Styles.
Actually, yeah. Joey Styles and JBL would probably work, given the history during One Night Stand.
Indeed. That would actually be funny.
Yeah. Hey, look, there's a heel and a face commentator that actually have reasons to be heels and faces with each other. What? You mean they have a reason to hate each other? Wow, want.
So yeah, I'm
generic concept.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with SmackDown. You know they're going to replace the Booker T with somebody. So
meh.
Now available on classic T-shirts everywhere, isn't that right, Mace?
Yeah, except we didn't produce them. Some other T-shirt site got a hold of them. Bastards.
What? Somebody stole your T-shirt idea?
Yep. Damn. Them for help doing it.
See, I thought we trademarked that word and everything.
Yeah, well, we didn't get it in time.
Well, who knows? Maybe they'll cycle through guest color commentators now.
That could go so badly.
Well, it might go really well if they alternate with Puppet H and the Muppets.
Yeah, or they could lose their PG rating if the Iron Sheik ever does it.
I don't think the Iron Sheik would ever do it. So I don't think you really would have to worry about that at all. So, but that's a bit of SmackDown news right off the top of the show. Focusing now on Raw. CM Punk wants the focus of the show to be on the WWE Championship. What a novel idea, Mace.
A novel idea indeed, but it's a damn good one.
It's an extremely damn good one. My question is, are we going to get all of the smarks and the marks on the all these different forum boards and posting sites starting to bitch and moan about Punk being a bitch, moaning about the fact that he's not the main event?
One, I couldn't give a fuck less what those type of people think, because they're like a minute part of the audience, so fuck them.
Okay.
Second, you're going to find that a lot more people are going to get behind CM Punk for turning around and bitching and complaining that the world champion is not the focus of your television show.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Jerry Lawler, when Punk went and clotheslined The Rock, said that Jerry Lawler turned his back on the WWE Universe last week. Punk came out, sat down right on top of the announce table, staring at Jerry, saying, how do you equate The Rock with the WWE Universe? Last time he checked, The Rock wasn't the WWE Universe.
Sounding very similar to something I'd say.
Mm-hmm. And does this not fly in the face of everybody saying, oh, Punk's, you know, this is now the heel turn and Punk is going to be a bad guy in the company now with that promo that he cut?
This is Summer of Punk version 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
I don't now, see heel, face, it doesn't matter. This is just Punk speaking the mind of everybody who gets ignored by the WWE.
And by doing what he's doing, hopefully it's not like standard Hollywood sequels and it's going to wind up sucking compared to the original. Is this not going to get everybody behind him and all of a sudden he's the counterculture hero?
Isn't that what he's always been? And by the way, this is movie 2, not movie 3. They don't suck until they get to the third movie.
the Transformers trilogy would like to have a word with you, Mace.
Movie 3, Omega.
Did you see movie 2?
Wait a second. You're saying
I'm trying to wipe it from my mind.
Yeah, you're trying to say Revenge of the Fallen was better than the third one?
No. Opposite.
No, not you. Mace.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm sort of backing you, Omega.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't see who you're pointing at through the Skype window.
It's not my fault you're not paying attention. Anyway.
Can I talk about heel turn?
You want to talk about a heel turn? Go ahead, talk about the heel turn.
I'm honestly a little bit disappointed in how they approached it, because it is a very egotistical heel way of doing it, which I really didn't like seeing out of Punk. What I was actually really hoping they would do, and they came close, was, you know, Punk should be the one to point out, hey guys, I'm the WWE champion, and I haven't main evented a pay-per-view since before WrestleMania. You know, it's been the John Cena show.
Yeah.
You know, if he wants to take issue with, well, I'm not the, you know, the WWE champion isn't the center of the focus in this company, that's exactly what he should be mentioning. And for some reason, they didn't. They made it about how Raw ends every week.
Uh-huh.
Which isn't the direction they need on the, at this point. It would have been more in line with how Punk's character has been developing, because he is the voice of the voiceless, the one speaking out for, you know, the counterculture of the WWE. So why isn't this like that? Or why, you know, why is this the same every week? That's exactly what, you know, we're thinking lately. Why the hell has John Cena been the main event no matter what the program is about? That should have been the angle. I don't think it would have come off as egotistical, and I think it'd be a more natural change.
Okay.
I've got a feeling that exact point you've made, Omega, is incoming. He started
out with... We're
waiting
show anyway, so it better be.
Yeah. Like, he started out by saying how The Rock tried to take the limelight at show 1000. Now that he's got that off his chest, now he can focus on Cena. So pretty much, Omega, please hand your script over to Vince. He needs it on Monday.
I'm sure he'll change it like 7 o'clock as usual.
So basically this quote unquote new attitude, you guys don't figure it'll get the fans to turn against CM Punk?
I think it'll turn them against CM Punk in the short term, but the same way he turned face the first time speaking what people are thinking and just backing it up with good performances on the mic and in the ring, he's going to find a completely different audience that's going to be just as vocal.
Okay. Mace? Anything bad?
No.
Well, that's a very lively discussion we got going on. Great. Okay.
God, this agreeing with each other really sucks for this show.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on. Maybe we should find somebody who just disagrees with everything every one of us says just for the hell of it, just to, you know, spark debates and shit.
Didn't we get rid of the Thunder Cunt?
I have no comments on what you just said whatsoever.
Moving on.
Okay, I have a lot of comments, none of that I'm going to actually voice. Moving on. You know what? I think that what we'll do now is our first round table of the night.
This would be the round table. Anthony Dancy round table with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
All right. Round table number one for tonight with the first segment. Who is the most interesting character on WWE TV right now? Let's start with Omega.
I'm going to stick with what's probably the consensus and say AJ Lee. Because she is playing such a character of... The kind of character that I think WWE really wishes they could write more often and just couldn't get a hold of, where you really couldn't tell what was going through her head, what she was going to do next, you know, what they really like to say on Raw. Anything can happen in the WWE. Well, not so much anymore. It's kind of a easily predictable glass book of sorts. However, she changes that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was tuning into Raw because I had no idea what the hell she was going to pull next in that storyline, but I damn well sure knew I wanted to be there when it happened.
Okay.
And now that she's the GM and she has even more control with just as little grasp of reality, it should be all the more interesting.
Okay, so AJ is going to keep you tuning into Raw just to see what she's going to fuck with next.
Pretty much.
All right, Mace.
Well, you know, we got to somehow. Oh, Omega's wrong. Yeah. Let me restrict your freedom of speech, bitch. But in all seriousness, pretty much AJ the reason tour at the moment, followed by CM Punk. Punk only because of his recent turn that you want to hear what he's going to say next, but at the same time with AJ, you don't know what the fuck's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she stands there, and I'm going to try and be as quick as possible. I found, once again, going to Wrestling with Text, there was a perfect thing to do with AJ. As I try to find the fucking thing. Everything, load up, goddammit.
Quick, stall for time while your internet goes slow.
Yeah, quick, stall!
So congratulations to all the Olympians who won gold medals, silver medals, and bronze medals.
Yeah, so Michael Phelps and all the others.
Yeah, Hey, good job by Michael Phelps. Is he really the most impressive Olympian of all time? Seriously.
He's got the most gold medals and records, so probably.
Yeah, but it's swimming.
How fast can you move in water?
I used to move pretty fast in water.
Not that fast.
I don't know. I never timed myself. Oh, God. Screw off, Rock, you piece of fin and asshole. Rock being the great Canadian women's soccer team, just because they actually defied all the odds, upset some countries they had no right beating. And now square off tomorrow against the United States women's soccer team to play for a medal. So, yeah, you know, we're proud of them up here. So what?
So that might be your, what, first gold medal?
No, actually, if they win, it'd be like the second.
Oh, yay.
The Summer Olympics, yeah. Canada is not a Summer Olympic country, man. We have winter up here 7 months out of the year, dude. But
you can still train indoors.
Yeah, we're destined
the heat
for
is on.
We're destined for a top 12 finish in the United K in London. So, with all of that, so that's not bad. Has your interwebs sped up at all yet?
Well, yeah, and then I couldn't find the picture I was looking for anyway.
Oh, great! So that was just a colossal
that,
waste of
and
time.
That was completely pointless.
Welcome to Completely Pointless, brought to you by Monty Python.
Pretty much.
And at this point in time, I'd like to say hello to everybody who might be tuned into the show through PWMania.com. Everybody check out PWMania.com after the show. Get your wrestling news fix. And I'm sure Andy Steven will be really happy that I just pimped out his website. Because after all, we're happy that he's got, you know, our live player embedded on his.
Very good.
Just
anyway,
moving on.
Now I've completely lost where the fuck I was, and I can't remember anything. So, Tim, what do you think of all this?
Well, I think that you both have a point, but at the same time, I got to disagree or not completely 100% agree with all of you on everything. I don't know how long I can keep going like this without actually, you know, bringing something up that we were talking about and making it sound legit. But, no, seriously, back to it. I've actually got three people on my list. And instead of just one, and the three people I got, you know, you mentioned AJ. Okay, she's up there, but then again, so is Punk because it's Summer Punk 2.0. But my third one is Dolph Ziggler. He's making SmackDown something I want to tune into just because you don't know what's going to go on between him and Jericho, and what Ziggler is going to do to further his position with WWE and further rise, you know, climb the ranks, as it were. So
once
those
again,
are the,
do
those
not
are my
watch kids. SmackDown.
So, you should watch SmackDown at least once in a while. I mean, after all, Teddy Long's on it.
No.
But come on, they just hired a brand new booker.
They hired a booker? They hired a brand new booker? What are you talking about?
Continue the show. Don't drag out the joke that brought silence.
In other words, don't point out when somebody else isn't funny.
Once again, Rock.
And with that, we're going to take our first time out of the evening. Everybody listen to WTR, Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, hello to Andy Steven and everybody at PW Mania. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this with a whole bunch more. We got some lists that we're going to be going through right on the other side of this timeout.
I could be just another stranger, but to you, I guess I'm just another fool. Your life in danger, then you hide behind a wall of silly rules. Nobody thinks the way I do.
Athletes, both professional and amateur, know that sun glare is an athlete's worst nightmare. The fine folks at iBlack.com have created and patented glare-reducing under-eye patches known as iBlack to help improve performance and the entire game day experience. iBlack is used by athletes in Major League Baseball, Major League Lacrosse, and Minor League Baseball.
iBlack has proud partnerships with many professional athletes in motorsports, the National Football League, and even WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Show your support for your favorite athlete and team by purchasing the innovative iBlack products from iBlack.com. That's iBlack.com, the official iBlack of athletes and fans alike.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is X-Pac. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insight from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Silas Curl, flyweight champion of the world.
Flyweight champion of the world. Silas Curl. Hey, girl.
Take it to the back of the club, man. Talking don't take the control away. I've been kicking that ass, and if you're giving my chance, I ain't gonna play. I really want to get to know you, that's what I tell you, girl, you know I don't play. I want to put it in your mouth, girl, you better do what the song say.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, of course, brought to you by iBlack.com. Hey, the most innovative iBlack products on the market, preferred by professional athletes everywhere, iBlack.com. There, shameless shilling over with. So, we've got a couple of lists to look here. Mace, Omega?
Yay, because this isn't a way to fill the show at all. Can you tell it's been a slow news week?
It's been an extremely slow news week. I mean, your biggest story was Booker T getting promoted or moved over to GM or whatever you want to call it.
Can we speculate why Rey Mysterio raided a grocery store with ostriches?
Okay, why did the grocery store have ostriches?
We're still trying to figure that out.
He raided a grocery store that had ostriches.
No, with ostriches, three attack ostriches charged a convenience store with him.
Oh, okay, so he was with the ostriches.
Yeah.
Or were the ostriches with him? Did they bring him or did he bring them?
He was at the lead, so I assume he brought them.
Okay, and people are probably wondering, what the fuck are you talking about, Rey Mysterio attacking a grocery store with ostriches?
Google it.
Anyway, we've got two lists here to take a look at. First one is the 25 most personal grudges in history, and the second is 15 of WWE's all-time greatest high-risk finishers. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, there you go.
Start with the grudges. Get the long one over with. Okay, well, you take a look at it. Starting off at number 25 is the British Bulldog versus Bret Hart. You know what? Let's just run through this starting from 25 to 21, and then we'll debate the list. 24 is Mick Foley versus Randy Orton, Jerry Lawler versus Andy Kaufman at 23, Jimmy Snuka versus Roddy Piper 22. 21 is John Cena versus Randy Orton, Triple H versus Shawn Michaels at number 20. Number 19, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Bret Hart. Number 18, Larry Zbyszko versus Bruno Sammartino. Number 17 is Randy Orton versus Triple H. Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho comes in at number 16, and number 15 would be the Von Erichs versus the Fabulous Freebirds. John Cena versus Edge at 14, followed at number 13 by Randy Savage versus Jake Roberts, with The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at 12. Number 11, Jake the Snake Roberts versus Ravishing Rick Rude. John Cena versus
The Rock. Stop there.
All right, I'll stop there.
All right, before we get to the top 10, we'll go through the rest.
All right.
First of all, why the fuck do you have Jerry Lawler versus Andy Kaufman at 23?
Thank you. That was the one that I stumbled over when I saw it at number 23. Thanks. Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about this, Mace.
This was an insane feud. This had everybody at the time believing that Jerry and Andy hated each other. Hell, I don't think anybody realized the truth until they brought out the Man on the Moon movie, that it was all a put on by Lawler and Kaufman.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. I do agree with you on that one. Go ahead, Omega.
Yeah. Well, when you bring your feud onto a national, popular talk show and continue it there, yeah, it tends to add to the realism. Like, you genuinely believe that these guys were out for each other's blood. I mean, I don't see any others on this list that spilled out beyond the reach of WWE television or even television, period.
Yeah.
So your ECW feuds on here, they happened on ECW TV. They didn't go anywhere else. I mean, Lawler versus Kaufman at a time when wrestling was not the mainstream thing that it is now, and it still got national coverage.
Yep.
And yet it's regulated to the 23rd spot, 25 spot list. That's shameful. It really is. This should be at least a top 15, if not a top 10 contender.
Yeah, this would easily be top 10.
Oh, I'd go top 5 with this one. Mace, give us your thoughts and opinions like Omega did about the actual feud itself.
Pretty much. Once again, I'm agreeing with Omega. God forbid,
Yeah, stop doing that.
We've got to find something to argue on tonight. I swear to God, we'll find something to argue on. But this was during a time where wrestling was not a mainstream thing. It got national coverage. It hit newspapers worldwide. I believe there was even newspapers down here that were covering it at the time. It's one of these things that transcended the business, and yet 23rd.
Yeah.
Fuck you, WWE.
Well, have you guys, aside from watching the movie Man on the Moon or reading any interviews Jerry Lawler did, have either one of you or anybody in the chat room read up on the whole situation and the circumstances about this feud and the genesis of it and what it led to?
Only what I saw in the movie, because frankly, it is next to impossible to find footage or information from back in the day. That's what I mean. This thing is still kayfabed this many years after the fact it happens. Even after we know what happened, it is still impossible to find out why.
Well, yeah, even today. What about you, Omega? Is there anything else you know about it besides what we've been subjected to with the movies and Jerry Lawler interviews?
Comedy Central used to air an Andy Kaufman special that was almost all about his wrestling career. In fact, you can go onto Netflix and see a bunch of Andy Kaufman's wrestling exploits in a little documentary thing they did. Though the Comedy Central one, I wish they still ran it because it's far more entertaining. You get to hear him, you get to see the interaction with Jimmy Hart in that feud. You get to see the genesis of it, the lines that they repeated for the movie. Kaufman singing in mockery of Jerry Lawler which is hysterical.
Okay, we're going to hold off on your question for a second, Rock, because I want to point out a bunch of things that I've found out about this feud doing research. And like you said, Mace, there's very precious little that you can actually dig up on stuff like, you know, on this particular one. But I was able to find a couple of things. Apparently, Andy came up with this idea after watching wrestling with his manager friend, Bob Zmuda. And the whole thing about it was Andy Kaufman wasn't a stand-up comic. He was a performance artist, and he was always looking for, you know, the next thing to shock people. And the thing that Andy loved more than anything else was to have the audience react negatively to him. If they booed him, he was happy. He was a natural heel, according to Jerry Lawler. He was a natural bad guy. He took this idea of a celebrity appearing at a wrestling event to challenge women wrestlers. He took this to Vince McMahon and the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, or World Wrestling Federation, whatever it was called in the early 70s. And they said, thank you, but no thank you. Then he shopped it to all these other different promotions. And, of course, this was back when there were still, you know, major territories and a whole bunch of different major big league, big-time federations. And they were all turning him down. At the same time, serendipity comes knocking on the door in the form of Jerry Lawler, because they're looking, Jerry Lawler's looking to find a way to get publicity and interest in his Memphis wrestling show, and couldn't figure out what's going on. But here comes this big Hollywood guy with this idea, and he presented it to Lawler. Lawler jumped on this, and they came up with the whole idea. And Andy Kaufman was adamant, he's got to be the bad guy. What's the best way of doing it? And he says, well, why don't we challenge women? You came and you saw my nightclub act, and I had this woman come out of the audience, and we wrestled. This woman became a plant to all of the Memphis wrestling shows. And she was the one that would get chosen and called into the ring, so she wound up being in on the whole thing. And the whole plan was for Jerry to actually blow the whistle on Andy Kaufman and say that it's a plant and it's all set up and stuff like that. Why don't you step up and wrestle a real man, which is the genesis for the feud for them. But here's the wider reaching consequences of Andy Kaufman getting involved with Jerry Lawler. This is the first time a big name celebrity was involved in professional wrestling. What did we see in the 80s with WWF? Rock and wrestling. What has the WWF / WWE done since then? They brought in music stars, artists, acts, movie stars, TV stars, all of these Hollywood people to try to bring in that fan base for the Raw show. And years later, Vince McMahon actually admitted to Jerry Lawler that he wishes it was WWF that highlighted this feud back then,
because then they would have gained control of the world a lot quicker.
They would have, yes, a lot quicker than they had. But yeah, you could actually look at Andy Kaufman's involvement in professional wrestling as the point of crossover. I mean, you know the old joke: how many people in the audience of a wrestling show do you need to have a full set of teeth, and it's the entire front row, or whatever. This involvement by Kaufman can be seen as like I was saying, the crossover from, you know, the Trailer Park Trust, the Rednecks, the Hillbillies enjoying this professional wrestling. All of a sudden, you've got you know, the high society people, friends of Andy Kaufman, and of course, when you got a celebrity involved in something for the first time, it becomes a trendy, fashionable thing to check out, and more, you know, the higher class type of individual becomes a wrestling fan. If they were already a wrestling fan, they come out of the closet and admit it, and it's all because of this feud between Andy and Jerry Lawler. Do you agree or disagree?
Basically, I see this as probably the progenitor to the sports entertainment phenomenon we have today.
Mm-hmm.
It laid the foundation of turning wrestling from, like you said, a trailer trash crap thing into something that involved mainstream media that reached out to a wider audience.
Yeah.
Omega.
What about you? Yeah, what about you, Omega?
I am pretty much in agreement there. It's one of the things that really made wrestling a little bit more interesting and a little bit more mainstream. Lawler was brilliant to give Andy the shot to do it. Mm-hmm. And God damn it, but Mace is right. it is what we think. It is the first occurrence of what we now see as sports entertainment.
Yeah. Which is basically the birth of everything that we have from the 80s up till today.
Pretty much.
So there you go. We can blame today on Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, it's Andy Kaufman's fault. And, he's still laughing at the practical joke, probably. But, what was I gonna say? Shit. This is the first time that professional wrestling, you're talking about mainstream media and stuff like that, this is the first time professional wrestling ever garnered such widespread mainstream news coverage. National, international headlines, like you said, Mace, it made it all the way down to Australia, the news story of it. And the big kicker about the whole thing, Jerry Lawler never, you know, pulled down the curtain until the movie came out.
Yeah.
All those years later.
That's some K-pop.
That's massive. So you guys still think it's in the top 10, or should we move it to the top 5?
I'd still say a top 10, but like close to top 5 area, definitely.
Okay. They didn't get the joke because they didn't watch Impact. Okay. So with that debate taking place, what about the rest of the list from 25 to 11? Anybody have any problems with the positioning of the other 20, the other 14?
Snooker versus Piper needs to be higher.
Yeah, okay. I'd say Austin and Rock needs to be higher. Cena and Edge needs to be lower. I'm not sure that was personal as much as it was long and tedious.
Drawn out. Does Cena versus Edge belong on the list?
It does, but very, very low on the list.
At number 12, we have The Rock versus Steve Austin. Does that belong at number 12, or should that be bumped up to the top 10?
That should be number 11. It was a good feud, but not quite top 10 material.
Okay. British Bulldog versus Bret Hart was the 25th. Is that good, you know, a good placement for that rivalry? Brother versus brother-in-law.
Yeah, considering I can barely remember a damn thing about it. I think I remember more about Bret versus Owen, which is not on this list, by the way.
Well, no, there's the whole thing. Well, no.
Yeah, I know the usual.
You know that. You know. Yeah, I hate to say it about the Bulldog and Bret feud because it's still a good feud, but you know that's a placeholder for Bret and Owen.
Not at number 25. Bret and Owen definitely deserves to be a lot higher than 25.
Oh, no. It belongs higher than that. But, yeah. You know, if you put it on the list, that's the one that gets bumped off.
Yeah. British Bulldog versus Bret Hart was a good feud. It was, neither one of them were bad guys. Bret played the more heelish wrestler, but not an all out and out, you know, bad guy. But this was, you know, I think this feud was the genesis of the Bret and Owen feud. Just because it was family being, you know, the whole idea is families being torn apart here.
I think what surprises me the most is of all the feuds I see on here, Undertaker only has one.
That is true.
There's silence as everyone checks.
And yeah, Undertaker versus Kane is a little bit higher on the list. We haven't mentioned it yet, so I think it's time to just rattle off the top 10 here, don't you think?
Go ahead.
For it.
All right, at number 10, John Cena versus Rock, Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio at number 9, number 8 is Junkyard Dog versus the Fabulous Freebirds, Tommy Dreamer versus Raven at number 7, number 6 is Dusty Rhodes versus the Four Horsemen, Kane versus Taker at number 5, that's the only one with Taker in it, as you said. Mr. McMahon versus Bret Hart at number 4. Edge versus Matt Hardy at number 3. Number 2, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Mr. McMahon. And, of course, number 1, Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels.
Okay, straight away, there's two feuds I'll eliminate from the top 10 completely. McMahon versus Bret Hart, because that's only a reason to mention the goddamn screwjob once again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Edge versus Matt Hardy. that was very one-sided and only lasted like a month, and it was just a way to get Matt Hardy to re-sign.
Honestly, though, that's still a really personal feud because that was a real-life thing brought in.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, it was a real-life thing to be brought in, but man, did it get squashed so quickly that it wouldn't even count as a feud.
Yeah, it was basically Edge kicking the shit out of Matt Hardy every time they got together.
Man.
And, looking inside Skype chat, he says Brett Vince was personal. Well, you know, the thing about that, this Montreal Screwjob completely overshadowed the program between Brett and Vince. They actually had the, the two of them feuding, but it was nothing huge or big in it. And the actual Brett versus the chairman feud doesn't belong on this list at all.
Now, to be fair, this is not a list of feuds. It's a list of grudges. And McMahon and Brett had a legendary grudge. You know, but as a feud itself, the only reason it's a feud is because fans see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you wouldn't have known about McMahon versus Hart until Wrestling with Shadows came out. Because up until that point, it was just not known. Like, the backstage repercussions of what happened at Montreal.
The actual real feud, not the fake one. Not the fake
one. That's what I mean. This is taking from something that was backstage and putting it into a storyline. This was, this is going back to an original concept. But still, it's something that doesn't deserve to be noted as especially a top five. I'd leave this somewhere under the 10 position if I had to put it on the list. Because you've got Brett versus Shawn as your number one, which is pretty much what the whole Montreal Screwjob and all that stuff was about.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'd move Dreamer versus Raven up to a top five.
Of course he would.
Naturally.
Hey, that was a great storyline, goddammit.
I was just going to tell Rock, don't call him ECW Mark. He's a Raven Mark. There's a difference.
Here's the thing, Mace. I say yes, of course you would say that, but at the same time, do you hear me disagreeing?
I know, cut you off before you could.
Yeah, will you disagree with him, damn it, just so we can get some kind of debate going?
It makes me wonder where the Sandman is in this list, too, come to think of it.
True. I guess they could only afford one ECW reference at a time.
Oh, damn, yeah, because we can't use those three letters now either.
They make a passing mention in the blurb for Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio about their time in ECW and WCW. But, you know, it was their feud in the WWE which really pushed on the superstardom. No.
Oh, the Dominik on a pole match.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dominik on a pole, yeah.
let's just gloss over, you know, the million odd matches they had in WCW, which were fucking top notch, you know, pay per view sellers.
Let's hang a piece of paper over the ring and make them fight for it, because that's how child custody works.
Yeah. So let's just take a look at the very top of the list: Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels, number two; Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Mr. McMahon. Would you guys agree or disagree that that one and two could be interchangeable any given night of the week? Or is Brett versus Shawn number one because it was such animosity between the two of them, both in front of the cameras and backstage?
There's another reason to bring up the oh my god controversy Montreal Screwjob.
No.
I was just going to say, forget the Montreal Screwjob. These guys had one hell of a bitter grudge and personal feud even before anything
went down. Nobody remembers that. Nobody remembers it. All they remember is the fucking screw job. Now, Omega, you're about to disagree with us, so please, by all means.
I am disagreeing with you, Mace. Because these two did despise each other well before the screw job. Both of them had animosity toward each other. But you know what? They also had some incredibly good matches to back it up. So on camera, off camera, you still have the fact that it's an enormous grudge. And then, yes, there is the screw job. And you want to say, oh, they're bringing it up again. But You can't deny it either. You have to acknowledge it exists at some point. Yeah. You have to admit that is an enormous grudge in pro wrestling. It's
well, okay, Omega, do you remember the grudge and the rivalry between the two of these without, can you do that without picturing Montreal 1997?
Yes, because the two were polar opposites in the time in the WWF. I mean, not only on, okay, so yeah, on camera, they are the complete opposites. Behind the scenes, it's the exact same thing.
They're still opposite.
You know, Shawn Michaels was an absolute dick back then, and Brett was, you know, king of the mountain. So, of course, you know, those two clashed all the damn time.
Well, you know, Shawn was, what did you call him, a dick?
Pretty much.
Okay, Shawn was a dick, and Brett was a real asshole. That's basically the perception. Would you not agree?
Pretty much.
Okay. But, you know, going back to that Omega, seeing as you say and you claim that you can overlook Montreal, would you say that position number one and position number two can be interchangeable?
No.
On any given night of the week?
On any given night of the week, those two stay firm. Stone Cold and McMahon, that is a tremendous feud. That's what brought the Attitude Era into the forefront. That's what made wrestling the biggest it's ever been. That's all well and good.
Okay.
However, that's also another one of those feuds that was drawn a little too long, and honestly, I don't want to say, Jesus, it's almost like, okay, we know it for its great moments. We know it for, you know, okay, the beer truck and, you know, the concrete and the convertible, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But in the end, that is really what it was. It was, let's tune in next week to see how, you know, Austin sticks it to McMahon. Okay, and then every now and then, okay, oh, there's this corporate ministry thing and McMahon's siding with Austin for a little while until he becomes a bad guy again. And, okay, and then Austin's, okay, and there's this invasion thing. They're gonna side to, they're gonna pair up. Now they're opposites. And now they're back to the usual. It just went really, really long. I thought, you know, it's great, but it's tedious too. It's what Austin is now. It's all that defines him now.
Uh-huh.
And we know backstage that there was no grudge between them. It was a tremendous feud, but, you know, McMahon was making, you know, both of these guys were making millions off of this. There was no grudge. Brett and Shawn, Brett's the guy who said, if I see Shawn backstage at the Hall of Fame, I'm walking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes, it's a way of bringing up the Montreal screw job, but that's part of wrestling history and you have to admit it. And it caused an enormous, enormous rift that had repercussions all the way to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. So that's basically entrance number one, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Edge versus Matt Hardy at number three. Where would you, who would you put in there instead of that, Mace?
I dropped that out of the top 10 only to move, Savage and Roberts up.
Okay.
As for who I'd put in the number three spot, probably move Taker and Kane up into number three.
Okay.
I don't know why, it just seems like the right thing to do. And then probably have, Dreamer Raven at four and Eddie Mysterio at five.
Okay. Now, with, as you pointed out, Undertaker's only got one feud listed on this list. Why do you not include, Taker versus Triple H, Taker versus Shawn Michaels?
I don't see why, because both of them were tremendous feuds.
And another one I'd probably throw in there would be Undertaker versus Mankind.
Yes!
You know, so
because as long as we're rehashing big moments we replay all the time anyway, let's show the cage spot again.
Yeah, well, you know, eventually we're going to wind up having to really dig deep to fill up 3 hours on Monday night, so they might do that, you know, Omega. Because it's not enough that you show five times over in a 3-hour program something that happened last week.
So.
Yeah, let's not go there again, please.
I am already pissed off that WWE treats us like we have the memory of a goldfish.
Well, you know, look at some of the fans. Don't you think that it's understandable they would have that assumption?
But they had... Okay, on Monday night, they had a segment between Cena and Punk. After the segment's over, they go to commercial. They come back to commercial with a recap of the segment that happened just before that very same commercial break.
That had me laughing, you know.
God, you people, did the commercial for Pep Boys really have you that distracted you forgot what just happened?
Hey, Pep Boys, they do everything for less. That's enough to distract anybody. Anyway, we brought it up briefly, Brett versus Owen. I would put Brett versus Owen at number 6 in place of Dusty versus the Horseman. Say that again?
Huh?
What did you say?
No, didn't say anything.
Somebody said something.
He gave a positive confirmation.
He said agreed? No wonder he said it so quietly. Where would you put it, Omega?
Jesus. I personally do a lot of playing around with the top 10. I might put it in there. Yeah, either number 6, probably number 7 if we're bumping Matt Hardy and Edge down and bumping Dreamer and Raven up.
Okay. At number 10, John Cena versus The Rock. Is this at number 10 because it's John Cena versus The Rock or because it just so recently happened?
It's there because it's so recent.
it's there because we're WWE fans. We have the brains of a goldfish.
It's there.
We can't remember the feud that was happening over the course of a whole fucking year.
Yeah, both of those reasons / excuses are valid for them being in number 10 spot. Do they deserve it? I don't think so. I don't even think that Cena versus Rock should be on this freaking list to begin with.
That'd be my number 25, actually.
I put it at number 30.
Well, then you're just grumpier than I am.
There you go. You're damn straight.
Can we finish up this list and go to the other one?
Well, yeah, I think that we've pretty much covered this list as much as we really need to worry about it. We've debated what we don't agree with and rearranged what needed to be rearranged. I think the rest of it we're pretty okay with. We can live with the rest of the spots.
Well, Zbyszko and San Martino should be replaced with Zbyszko versus Fashion Sense, but beyond that, I think we can move on.
Zbyszko versus Intelligence might actually rank higher, Omega. Just saying. So, the next list that we got...
Before we jump...
Fuck,
We're trying to finish this off. Keep fucking up.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I still want to see Scott Steiner versus the English Language on there.
Ooh, well, you might have the chance to have that happen in August when Scott Steiner actually wrestles for RCW in Edmonton.
You know, maybe we should just put together our own top 25. You know, because I'm gonna vote for Scott Hall versus AA.
All right, Omega, your homework assignment for next Sunday. I want your top 25 list, the greatest all-time feuds, or grudges.
Number 1, Lita versus celibacy.
There you go. Now let's move to the 15 all-time high-risk finishers in the WWE. And we'll go through the first bunch of them here. At 15 is Kill Switch from Christian. Chris Jericho's Codebreaker is at 14. The Neutralizer, Antonio Cesaro, which is better known as the Cradle Pile Driver. At number 13, the Flying Bulldog from the Steiner Brothers. Number 12, Lita's Moonsault. Number 11. Number 10, Mysterio 619. The Skull Crushing Finale from The Miz at number 9. Number 8 is Bret Hart's Sharpshooter, which is also used by Mentalia and basically the entire fucking Hart family. The GTS by CM Punk at number 7. Number 6 is The People's Elbow. And, of course, that's The Rock's move. The Tower of Quebec from The Quebecers at number 5. Sin Cara's unique spin on a head scissors takedown is at number 4. Number 3 is Justin Gabriel's 450 Splash, Frog Splash, Eddie Guerrero version at number 2, and Shane McMahon's Coast to Coast at number 1 in the top 15.
So we can agree that it's basically Rob Van Dam at number 1.
I'll agree with that considering he did it first.
Because he did it first, and he can do it without having to prop something up in the corner and carry the damn chair with him.
You're still an RVD mark.
Fuck yes.
By the way, this is already being pointed out in the chat room. This is meant to be 15 of WWE's all-time high-risk finishes. Half of these things aren't even high-risk.
Yeah.
No, the code breaker. That's called falling on your back.
Okay, well, let's start with eliminations. Let's get rid of some of these goddamn things. First off,
those are the ones to keep.
Yeah, well, let's get rid of like the most glaring ones. Code breaker. No, I don't believe that should be on the list.
No.
And what about the neutralizer?
It's only risky because of the way you're holding your opponent. You're not exactly propping him up properly.
Yeah, no.
Plus, Jerry Lynn did it better in Super.
Jerry Lynn does an actual cradle pile driver. Cesaro kind of does what looks like it's almost a take on a Styles Clash more than a pile driver.
Mm-hmm. Number 10, the 619, high-risk finisher? Are you kidding me?
Only if he's doing the original with a Hurricanrana again.
The thing is, 619 is actually not that bad of a finish because it actually requires athleticism and good timing.
Okay. Now, another one that I'm questioning would be the Tower of Quebec.
I don't even remember it.
Yeah, I'm amazed they remembered it to put on the list.
Well.
And I'm sorry, but the sharpshooter is not high risk.
No. No, not in the least.
That's not a finisher so much as a submission.
Well, it's a finisher. It finishes the match.
Yeah, it'll finish the match, but it's a submission move. As opposed to something that's supposed to look like it's going to knock your opponent absolutely bullshit buggy. And to me, that's what a finisher does. And how come Taker's version of the pile driver is not on here? He delivers the world's most impressive looking pile driver, don't you think? The Tombstone?
Agreed.
Safe
as houses, but.
When we had to go back and watch the Taker versus Taker match, goddamn you, Mace. And,
make me put on the kettle from hell again.
No!
You think of the Tombstone Piledriver as it is now. I mean, back in his prime when he was leaping up to deliver it,
mm-hmm.
God back damn, it looked like it hurt.
Back when he could actually leave his feet. I think we're more amazed by that than anything else in the entire video was, oh my God, Taker could leave his feet? When the fuck did that happen?
Well, when Bret Hart and Undertaker were feuding, Bret Hart said that the pile driver that he was receiving from Undertaker, if there wasn't any interference, he'd probably wind up losing the belt because the thing was so painfully devastating. Now, of course, it's said by Bret Hart, and Bret Hart has a hard time, or at least back then, everybody accused Bret Hart of having a hard time distinguishing between character and reality, so... was he saying something genuine or was it all in character? You don't really know. You can suspect and assume something, but, you know.
But this is Bret Hart. He couldn't take a kick to the head because he's got such a soft head, so.
Well, that was a pretty hard kick to the freaking head.
He's got a soft cranium.
Oh, for crying out loud. Like to see
he's what still claiming he's still claiming concussion, 10 years after the fact?
And post-concussion syndrome. And that is, for people who have never had a massive major concussion, I can vouch that the PCS can be pretty devastating.
He's just a soft fucking pussy.
Whatever.
Can we talk the list now?
I want to know what the hell number 4, a unique spin in quotation marks,
they haven't named it yet.
Yeah, there's no name for it yet, so it's, you know...
This is his head scissors takedown thing. What about the other one that he does from the top rope and botches half the time? That's more high risk than his head scissors takedown, but then again, it is Sin Cara, so everything he does is
moves high risk.
Yeah, the fact that he botches it half the time should prove how high risk it is, right?
That's because now, not many people know how to take it.
So.
To be fair, when we think of a high-risk finisher, we're usually thinking something off the top rope. You know, we're usually thinking, you know, high rent or high risk district, however they want to phrase it that night. We're thinking something that's going to either pay off huge or cost them the match. That's what a lot of this stuff is. I mean, number 15, Christian's kill switch. Now, even when you know that that's a staged move, it still looks hard as fuck to actually deliver. And it leaves Christian incredibly vulnerable if he doesn't. The same is true of the 619. How many people have intercepted or caught Ray and turned it against him?
Yeah.
So there's two ways of looking at it as high risk. It's not just this is going to be a huge payoff or nothing. It's also this is going to leave me really vulnerable while I go and do this move.
Mm-hmm.
That said, shit like the Codebreaker, the neutralizer, shit like that. No, it's still not high risk in the least.
Okay.
Where's the shooting star press, whether it's done by Billy Kidman and lands properly, or Brock Lesnar who botches it on his face?
Why is Lita's moonsault at number 11? I've seen far, far better moonsaults.
Vader. Vader's moonsault is deadly.
That's scary. That's fucking scary. Talk about scary moonsaults. Ask Kurt Angle to climb a cage sometime.
Oh, I remember that.
Well, you know,
it's considering we're putting stuff that's not like, like it's not exactly high risk, but has a, you know, leaves me open type deal. What about Big Show's punch? Because he puts all his force into it, it leaves him open if he misses because he stumbles like a big fucking goof.
Thing is, can you really tell it apart from any of his normal punches?
He winds up further and actually clenches his fist.
You pay attention to Big Show matches. This is 2012. What's wrong with you?
You gotta remember, I'm a trained wrestler. I really look at this type of stuff closely. I learn this stuff in case I want to rip it off later.
The man is honest.
You laugh, but let's think of how many of these finishes are actually ripped off from somebody else.
Okay, yeah, true. Number 8, Sharpshooter, we have on our little personal list three people listed. That doesn't include The Rock, or half of the Canadians that were on the roster.
Yeah. We also got the skull-crushing finale, which Jeff Jarrett did at first.
Just the other way.
Who's that?
You know, the producer, because, you know...
God?
Yes. Yeah, God is here.
Do you know why Rey Mysterio popped a milk bar with ostriches?
No, but it's on our Facebook and Twitter.
As it should be.
So go check it out after the show.
450 Splash, Hooven to Guerrero, anybody?
That's WCW, no one cares. Because they took WCW Nitro off their WWE
Hold on. No. WCW doesn't matter, yet you have the Steiner's Flying Bulldog.
That came from their time in the WWF.
Which originated in WCW, so.
But they put it in WWF.
I don't care!
Have we mentioned the People's Elbow?
What? Okay, now again, that is another, I am enormously vulnerable while I do this move.
But it's
true. Just think about how many times, like, Austin's popped up and hit a stunner, you know, mid-flow or...
I can distinctly remember Jericho popping up and hitting him with a clothesline out of nowhere.
And a CM Punk flying out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, Punk. Punk, too.
So we're good with it, number 6?
Fuck no. It goes lower.
Way lower than that.
Lower. That'd be something I'd put down at, like, number 13.
Okay, just making sure.
Again, fuck The Rock, but, you know.
You know, that's just keeping up the gimmick.
But one of the things I'm actually kind of surprised that we see two tag team finishers on here. you know, so it does make me wonder where something like the Doomsday device is. Because aside from the top finisher, that leaves both of you very vulnerable while you're performing the move.
See, I'd probably put the Doomsday device above the Flying Bulldog for sure.
Oh, yeah.
What about the heart attack from Brett and the anvil?
Trying to remember what that was.
Yeah.
That's where Brett held the...
I know it's a stock standard move in the WWE games.
It's where Anvil held up the opponent and
did
that a clothesline.
Oh, is that Spinebuster clothesline?
Yeah.
I suppose it does leave Anvil open because he was the one who was doing the...
Right.
Yeah, but not nearly as vulnerable though.
But is it compared to the sharpshooter for the Hart family? Wouldn't the Hart attack be more high risk?
True. Where's the spike pile driver?
Who did it?
You know what, Chris? Oh, fucking New Age Outlaws. It's probably about a half a dozen tag teams that have used that one.
But was it their finisher?
I don't know. I don't remember tag team wrestling that well. In a while since I've seen it.
I know, right? What the hell is tag team wrestling?
I have no idea.
It's that weird thing.
I think they do it in Japan.
There's wrestling in Japan? I thought there was only toys in Japan.
No, toys and wrestling.
Okay.
Porno. Some very
Toys, wrestling, and fucked up porno.
Amazing food.
I think that's everything on the list.
I think so. Go to sleep. What about that, really?
I don't see that as high risk. Because he doesn't really leave himself vulnerable, because there's really only one way of countering it, is to land on your feet.
He has a point.
Plus, if you're going to call the go-to-sleep a high-risk finisher, then why the fuck isn't the attitude adjustment on there?
Get out of my head, mate.
But it's so roomy!
I was just going to ask that question. Yeah, it's like, it's a list and they didn't put anything with John Cena on it. Shocker.
Oh, come on. If they didn't have the People's Elbow in there, it'd be the Five Knuckle Shuffle.
Oh, God. Seriously? Wow.
That's not high risk though, because every time he goes for the five knuckle shuffle, he's already hit about five moves on his opponent in a row.
And that's his sixth, so he should be able to flub that one up.
Yeah,
why?
Five
moves.
Yeah, by then he has. Yeah, remember this is Cena. By then he has already delivered at least three flying shoulder blocks, ducked a clothesline, and then delivered a proto bomb before going for the five knuckle shuffle. The guy's already out.
And by this time, John Cena also has the cape, and we can hear the music in the background.
All right. What about Taker's flying leap off the top rope?
It's not a finish.
Yeah.
That was said, but just talking high risk.
Okay.
High risk move, yes. Finish or no?
Yeah. You can't separate those two out here. I mean, it's finishers, high risk finishers. If we're just talking high risk, then the whole thing, all top 15 would be shit Shane McMahon's done.
Of which we replaced shit Shane McMahon has done / stole from RVD. And then at number 15 will be Undertaker's top rope walk, because seriously, that takes a lot of support from his opponent to pull off that move, and I don't know why. I think there's probably been about two people in the history of the Undertaker's career that ever worked out, hey, I could stop this move by simply pulling on the arm I'm holding.
What about Hell's Gate when it's put on legit?
That's not high risk though. Submissions aren't high risk. With the possible exception of the figure four, since it can be countered into an equally dangerous submission.
Yeah. Submission moves are just that. They will fuck you up. The only one that ever actually has a proper counter is the figure four, which can be countered into an Indian death lock, actually.
Right. But at the same time, the figure four is the only one that you can apply while taking a nap. I don't call
as
our...
As Ric Flair has demonstrated many times.
He's getting on. He needs everyone he can get.
So have we expanded upon this list fully?
I believe so.
So we could go on all night with high-risk finishers, but they'd mostly be top rope moves.
Yeah, as far as finishers go, a lot of the wrestlers I talked to said there are basically three kinds. They're the one kind that look wicked, but don't hurt your opponent. Then they look really, really bad and hurt your opponent. But the third major one is one that looks really, really bad but doesn't have any kind of pain involvement at all.
Good, you're back. Send us a break.
So, yeah, I'm back. Everybody listen to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are taking our next little time out here. We're going to come back with some TNA Hardcore Justice predictions. And I do believe that this is going to be audience participation. What am I talking about? Stay tuned. Find out on the other side of this quick little time out. We'll be back right after this. I can get through anything. If I can make it through this. I can get through anything.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, man. What's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
In fresh them teeth since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Vipers only got one heart.
You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
And I don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com, just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Thursday nights are about to be a little more impactful, especially when it comes to talking about my TNA. And no, I don't mean that TNA.
Beer! Money!
I mean TNA. You know, James Storm, Bobby Roode, Joseph Parks, Abyss's brother, and all the other stars of Impact Wrestling. Plus, everything else in the world of wrestling going on today. It's The Rack, Thursday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, well, well. It is I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us for as long as you have, and thanks for your continued support, especially everybody over at PWMania.com. Check it out as soon as we're done with the show here, www.PWMania.com. Thanks once again, Andy Steven, who should be tuned in and listening and paying close attention because, Andy, you might learn something. Speaking about learning something, I said before the break, audience participation. Now, here's the deal, here's the drill. We've got seven announced matches, believe it or not, seven, for TNA's Hardcore Justice. We're going to predict, or at least attempt to predict, who's going to win the matches. We want you to play along. Real Kane Kittens in the chat room will keep track of everybody's predictions, and the night of the pay-per-view, when we go live right after the pay-per-view, we're going to see who did the best. I do believe the first time we did this, which was the last time we did this, I came out on top.
Actually, the first time we did it, a chat room person came out on top.
Well, the first time I was involved.
First time you were involved. We had the first time a chat room person out, you know, all of us. Second time, Tim kind of was right on the...
Kind of?
Kind of.
You... Kind of?
Well, there was...
You have to qualify that, don't you, you little fucker?
There was this disputes all around, so...
You goddamn Philadelphia Jew prick.
That's the Canadian Jew for you, Tim Stein, everybody.
Yeah, you can fuck off. You can bring it too, but reality for me.
Excuse me, how much did you save today on a router?
Yeah, that was last night, and it was over $10. And what did I tell you? You know, when you said, well, hey, that's very Jewish of me, I said, hey, fuck, a Jew would only save $5.
That makes Tim Stein a super Jew.
I'm not a super Jew. I'm not that extravagant. Fuck off. Anyway, let's get to the predictions, yeah. You asshole. You know what? We should actually get Lynn's in on this call for the predictions.
You really want her on the show?
What, you don't? Don't you like Lindsay?
She can be on the show. But
what's the matter? She's not your favorite?
Lindsay would like to call in, she can call it.
Lindsay, get your ass on the phone here, and we want you, because you do host The Rack Thursday nights, and you talk your TNA, so you should be in on this because it's TNA pay-per-view. So we're waiting for Lindsay. While we're waiting for Lindsay, we're going to take a look at the matches here. We got Bobby Roode versus Austin Aries for the World Heavyweight Championship.
No pressure on you, Lindsay, or anything. Just, he's going to hold up the show. We're being held hostage until you call in.
Well, yeah, basically doing what wrestlers do when they don't get their way, right? They sit in the ring until they get their way.
He's sitting there with his holding his breath like a spoiled child.
There you go, turn blue and pass out. Yeah, okay, so World Heavyweight Championship match, Bobby Roode versus Austin Aries. Bound for Glory series match is worth 20 points. It's the ladders match, AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle versus Christopher Daniels versus Samoa Joe. Another Bound for Glory series match worth 20 points. It's the tables match, Jeff Hardy versus James Storm versus Bully Ray versus Robbie E. And the next Bound for Glory series match, and again, yes, worth 20 points. Falls count anywhere, Mr. Anderson versus Rob Van Dam versus the Pope versus Magnus. Knockouts title match, Madison Rayne versus Miss Tex Mocker. Kid Cash and Gunner versus Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. And then, of course, the X Division title match, Kenny King versus Zema Ion.
So start from the bottom, work your way up, Tim. Make your predictions.
Where's Lindsay?
She hasn't called yet.
I'm waiting for her to call. I'll make a setup. I'm holding y'all hostage till she phones in. Lindsay, it's easy. Just get on Skype and Skype Sir Rockin'. That's all you got to do. Anyway, let's take a look at the X Division title match: Kenny King versus Zena Ion. Don't you love how I butcher their names? Kenny King versus Zema Ion. Mace, pick somebody.
Zema, why not?
Why not? All right. Omega, who you picking?
Zema.
Rock, who you picking?
Zema Ion.
Okay. Kane Kittens in the chat room, who you picking? Chat room, who you picking?
Pick the guy with the Star Trek name.
I'm gonna pick Kenny King.
If Kenny King gets the title, then I start losing faith in TNA booking once again.
What do you mean, start?
Hey, the shows have actually been quite good these last few weeks, so shut up.
Yes, and
it's better than watching Raw for 3 hours.
Yes, and a broken clock, yada yada, cliche.
Twice a day, cliche. Okay. Next one, Kid Cash and Gunner versus Chavo and Hernandez. Rock, pick your winner.
Since Chavo Guerrero just debuted with the company, Chavo Guerrero's team wins.
Okay. Omega?
Remember when Hernandez was supposed to be the next big thing in the company and now he's second fiddle to Chavo Guerrero?
He was supposed to be the next big thing and then they sent him to Mexico.
He's supposed to be the next big thing. We're going to deport you now.
Okay, you stalled long enough. Pick a winner.
Chavo.
Okay. Mace.
I'm going to pick the Mexicans.
Yeah, okay, I'll pick Chavo and Hernandez. All right, Knockouts title match. Miss Tessmacher holding the belt, taking on Madison Rayne. Omega, pick one. Women wrestle.
What? Women wrestle? What?
Women who wrestle the Knockouts.
God. See, next you're going to tell me the women wrestling tag team matches, and I'm just brain's going to shut down.
They have Knockout tag team champions.
And they
you
did,
had
they
to,
did have they did have a knockout tag team match last week on Impact.
Yeah, you had to do that, Rock, before he made his pick. Nice fucking going.
The Knockout tag team champions are ODB and Eric Young, and since they're begging them to defend the titles are never going to be seen at the same time together. So Eric Young took his belt and left. He went go fishing. Go watch his show Off the Hook Extreme Catches on Animal Planet Sundays.
There you go. Omega, pick a winner. Madison Rayne or Miss Tessmacher?
Tessmacher.
Okay. Mace.
Madison. Especially if Earl's reffing.
Okay. Rock.
If Earl Hebner is the referee, Madison Rayne will win even if her shoulders are down.
Okay. I predict that it doesn't matter who winds up with the title. Taz wins no matter what in this match.
No, doesn't work that way, Tim.
No, it doesn't work. No, sorry.
Taz wins. I'll choose Madison Rayne. Okay, so the Falls Count Anywhere Bound for Glory series match, Mr. Anderson versus Rob Van Dam, the Pope versus Magnus. Rock.
RVD.
Should I even bother to ask Omega?
I'm trying to predict the winner here, not who I particularly favor. RVD.
Mace.
Van Dam.
Okay, I'm picking Mr. Anderson. Bound for Glory series match, tables match. Jeff Hardy versus James Storm versus Bully Ray versus Robbie E. Mace.
James Storm.
Okay, Omega.
Storm.
Okay, Rock.
The Jeffrey Nero Hardy.
Ooh, okay. Well, it's a tables match. I have to pick Bully Ray. Bound for Glory series match, ladder match. We got AJ Styles, Kurt Angle, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe. Omega, pick.
Joe.
Rock.
Kurt Angle.
Mace.
Joe.
Ladder match. I'm picking AJ Styles.
Let's just think about this right now. You have AJ Styles, Kurt Angle, Christopher Daniels, and Samoa Joe in a ladder match. How awesome is that going to be?
It's going to be definitely match of the night, that's for sure.
Well, if it's half the match, everybody expects it to be. It'll be the reason to watch the pay-per-view, right, just for that match.
All right. Let's just go back a second. Remember Money in the Bank last month and the four people they put in that match? And here's your TNA version of four people in a ladder match. Which one was better?
We'll let you know next Sunday night.
TNA seems like it'd be a better one.
Just saying.
Yeah. Okay, so now we get to the World Heavyweight Championship. Bobby Roode trying to regain the title against Austin Aries. Rock.
Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode. All right, Omega.
Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode. And Mace.
Austin Aries.
Alrighty, I'm going with Austin Aries.
Ooh, Torn.
Torn? Who's Torn?
We are. Oh. We went 50-50.
Rip Torn, good actor. I miss him.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, no, we're split.
Yeah, we're split.
Hey, what, Rip Torn died?
Did he? I'm not keeping track.
I don't know, you said you missed him, and I'm what? Why do you miss him? Did he die?
Just didn't see him. I haven't seen him in a while. I assume everyone, if I haven't seen him in a while, I assume they're dead. Speaking of which, I'll miss you, Spud.
Just to
clarify, Rip Torn is still alive.
Okay.
And believe me, he was sorely missed in Men in Black 3.
Yeah, I was about to say, just because he wasn't in Men in Black 3 doesn't mean he's dead.
And we're not sure if Smug is alive or not. He went to Nashville, and he was around Chase Stevens and Cassidy Riley and Hammerjack, and they may have killed him. So we're not sure if he's alive.
I hope they did. I begged Cassidy so much to chop the shit out of Smug.
I haven't heard from him since the trip.
I know he made it out in some sort of capacity. His Skype was signed in last night, so he made it out in which capacity we do not know, whether he was driving or whether he was in an ambulance. We will find out Tuesday night.
I think the sign in was someone just stealing his iPhone.
Yeah, it was his wife.
That would have probably been Cassidy. Spoke left the major mistake of leaving his phone on around those two.
Probably not a good idea. All right, so there you go. There's our predictions for TNA Hardcore Justice. And if you're keeping track of it, anybody else who has decided to play along will find out after the pay-per-view how everybody done.
Yes.
But for now, time to move on to your buy and sell, Rock.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or sell?
No!
No! No! No! No! No! No!
Up first, by... For, up first, buy or sell Randy Orton to star in the 12-round sequel. You buy it or sell it, Miss?
I'll buy it only to get Randy Orton off Raw and SmackDown and anything else.
Okay. Omega, do you buy or sell Randy Orton as the next star of 12 rounds?
I didn't see the first 12 rounds to know if he'd be good for the movie series.
But you've seen Randy Orton act.
Sell, 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 sell. Okay, fine. Just so he doesn't have like a little pissy contract dispute, I was supposed to be in the Marine, goddammit, type thing going on. Okay, fine. He gets to be in a movie. Just shut up. Keep him happy. We need the star power just as long as we can get him replaced soon.
Tim, buy or sell?
Oh, well, you got to figure that it would be kind of difficult to be a worse actor than John Cena.
Oh, I've seen it.
Ugh. Would Randy Orton be the guy to be worse than John Cena? Can Randy Orton make John Cena actually look like a good actor? When you compare Randy Orton and John Cena, I gotta buy it.
Buy or sell, JBL teasing return to the WWE announce booth next to Michael Cole. Tim.
No, don't ask me that.
I asked you the question.
Don't ask me right now. Ask somebody else first.
No, I'm asking you first.
WWE bringing back a Saturday morning wrestling show?
No, JBL teases return to the WWE announce booth.
WWE bringing back a Saturday morning wrestling show?
Tim.
JBL returning to WWE to do announcing at the table? Yeah, I'd buy that. That would be good.
Okay. See, was that so hard?
Yes.
Difficult one. Omega.
Because you wish it, prick.
Buy or sell?
Buy. Buy in an instant. Get Michael Cole off and get an interesting heel announcer in.
Oh, can I answer from Ace? Shut up and take my money.
But it would be next to Michael Cole, not to get rid of Michael
no,
Cole.
No. Josh Matthews and JBL.
But Michael Cole is the voice of the WWE.
Fuck you. John.
Yeah,
John,
no, I think he's got his stipulations, Rock. You're not changing that.
All right, Mace. Buy or sell?
I'd buy it with Omega's stipulations added.
Okay. Buy or sell WWE bringing back a Saturday morning wrestling show. Mace.
Is it Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling?
No.
Damn it. you know what? I'd buy it, but then again, it probably wouldn't get played here until like Sunday. Which makes it absolutely pointless, so.
Some of the names include Saturday Morning Slam, Jacked, Amped, Supercharged, and Turbocharged.
Sell based on those names.
You're really considering bringing back Jacked.
Yes.
And the worst thing is that's the name that sounds best out of all of them.
Omega.
I'm kind of with Mace on this one. I'd buy it in a heartbeat if it was a cartoon.
But it's not a cartoon.
No, I knew it.
So as a format,
honestly, sell it. WWE doesn't know what to do with the time they've got as it is, let alone to throw another TV show on them.
Okay, Tim, buy or sell?
Sell, sell, sell. No, I just don't see it working in this day and age. It was great in the late 70s and in the early mid 90s, but no.
Okay.
Things have evolved too much for a Saturday morning wrestling show.
And finally, this buy or sell. Start with Mace. Mace, buy or sell the idea of Sean O'Hare as someone you would want to be your hair stylist.
I'd buy it. He's always had like some awesome looking hair, so he obviously knows what he's doing. Considering my haircuts have basically been reduced to short back and sides, I'd like a change.
Okay. Omega, buy or sell?
Might as well buy it, considering I never go to the barber. You might as well be asking a bald man.
Tim, buy or sell?
Oh, I'd probably sell it because I don't have any hair to cut, so.
Like I said, might as well ask a bald man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was buy it or sell.
And you're an asshole.
I didn't say it.
Mr. Let's egg him on, but not take the blame. Fuck you.
Time for the great debate.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Are you ready?
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate.
Are you serious for what?
Join the hosts as they debate the greatest wrestling entrance theme of all time.
I am CM Punk, and I am the voice of the voiceless.
Now step in to the WTR Squared Circle for this week's Great Debate.
You didn't say that. Tell me. You did not just say that.
Okay, this week's Great Debate features up first Sting, the Crow theme, versus Raven.
Oh, can't we just go straight into Flair versus Dreamer, considering we just heard Flair?
No. No, you gotta wait.
Separated.
Mace, you're up first. Sting or Raven?
Well, gee, I wonder what I'm gonna pick.
You're not allowed to pick Raven because that was like a major song by a major band.
You know what? I'm still gonna pick Raven based on the TNA remix that was done of that song, so fuck you, Tim. By the way, I absolutely hated Crow. Give me a man named Sting any day.
There you go.
Omega.
Once again, just picking the wrong theme songs for these people.
Okay, we're going to go through this again. I sent over the list. Or I offered...
I never received it.
You weren't around. Omega was given the list. Or was offered the list. And he said, no, I trust your judgment.
I didn't know your judgment had terrible taste in music.
You could have reviewed it. Tim had a copy. He could have reviewed it, so he can't complain.
And for the record, Tim hasn't.
God. this theme for Raven doesn't fit him. The theme for Sting is boring. They both had far better themes. Far better themes. Neither one belongs in this debate because neither one is worthy of it. But I'm going to pick Sting based on at least it fit his character at the time.
Tim, this leads you to break the tie.
Oh, I love the Offspring. I didn't like the Crow movie. So Raven, I will choose.
You like that theme song that sounds like it's gonna begin with, "Oh Mickey, you're so fine," before it finally kicks in?
You gotta keep them separated.
So Raven moves
on. Don't be hating, just cause I didn't pick what you picked.
Huh?
What?
Hey, we finally have people disagreeing on this goddamn show. Don't ruin it.
Here's about freaking time.
Up next, Tommy Dreamer versus Ric Flair.
Tommy Dreamer.
Actually kind of tough. Personally, when they pick a song like that for a wrestler, I always find it to be something of a cop-out. Just, what song from a movie sounded really good this week? Okay, let's put it on this guy. But, Ric Flair just kind of sells the grandiose nature of that song to begin with. Yeah, I'm going with Flair.
Tim.
Tommy Dreamer.
How come?
Because I freaking said so.
Oh, give a reason.
Because I like Tommy Dreamer, and you knew when he was coming out, there was going to be a pretty damn good match.
That has nothing to do with how his song sounds.
As a result, I enjoyed his song, because the song would play, and I'm, oh, great, it's Tommy Dreamer! And you hear Ric Flair's entrance music, and you think 2001 Space Odyssey.
Mm-hmm. So that's your reasoning?
That's my choice, and that's why. So shut up. Move on.
Mace, break the tie.
This one was actually a lot easier for me to pick. I'm going with Flair. The music conveys this grandiose nature, this over-the-top amount of, hey, look at me. It was this grand reveal, and that's what you got with Flair. He always came out in the robe, with the women, at times Macho Man's money. You got exactly what the song conveyed in the character, and they complement each other so well. Looking back on it, Tommy Dreamer's one doesn't really seem to match him the same way as Flair's does. So, Flair, because he actually matches his music.
Next week, okay, first off, Ric Flair moves on. Next week on The Great Debate, Ultimate Warrior takes on Ted DiBiase. and Hulk Hogan's Real American takes on the Real Double J with My Baby Tonight.
Oh, and next week, where we'll have our quickest debate ever.
You say that now.
Yes, I say that now.
May said this was last week. This was easy, but we had, you know, differing opinions all the way throughout.
Jeff Jarrett wasn't an option this week.
That's not Jeff Jarrett, though. It's actually technically the Road Dogg.
That's not who came out to the music.
Eh.
Thus, it was not their theme.
He sung it for a while. If you think about it, his character did it for a while.
Yeah, and then he got good.
But that's next week's debate. Now it's time for Quick Hits featuring the toughest question Omega has ever been asked on this show.
Oh, no. Click.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Mace, who is the most overall talented female in wrestling today?
Okay, can I ask for a qualifier on this one? Is this overall talent or talent that's been allowed on television?
Overall. Doesn't matter if they're on TV or not. Overall talented.
Going with Jessica Havoc.
Suck up.
Shock. I was thinking the same thing, Rock.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to go for the likes of Natalia, because guess what? She hasn't been on TV that much. As talented as she is, she hasn't given a chance to shine. At least Jess has been able to do shit in WSU and other places. Indie women's wrestling is better than mainstream wrestling.
Any day of the week.
Damn right.
Tim, what is WWE's biggest problem right now?
Michael Cole.
Simple as that?
Pretty much. I have heard so many people complain about Michael Cole to the point where they don't watch because he's talking. And that being the case, you're losing viewers. For every one person that complains, 10 people are in that person's court. And if you got 10 people complaining, that's 100 people tuning out because he's such an annoying pain in the ass.
Okay, Omega, when was the last time you were truly surprised by something in wrestling?
Truly surprised.
Truly surprised.
See here.
And for the record, this is not the toughest question you've ever been asked.
Well, it might very well be, but then, you know, you're going to top in about 2 to 3 minutes' time.
So this is the toughest question you've ever been asked until the next one.
Yes.
Toughest question I've ever been asked for the next 2 minutes. God, it's so hard to try to remember when you were last surprised by something in professional wrestling when you're this connected to everything that happens behind the scenes.
Nexus?
No.
Punk?
You know, it might have been the night of the pipe bomb.
Okay, we'll move on from there. Mace, what dessert food best represents Tim Stein?
What? Wow.
No name brand Jell-O. Because it's cheap and does the same thing that it always does.
Thank you. I like that answer. Tim, what is one celebrity you do not want to be stuck in a car with for a road trip across Canada?
Can we just, like, say for a road trip across any place? A road trip anywhere?
Yeah, same thing.
One celebrity. Just any genre, any walk of life, any type of celebrity status?
Yes.
One celebrity I would not want to be stuck in the car with. Oh, Christ.
Real Can Kitten Spug doesn't count. He's not a celebrity.
Yes, this is true. Christ, who wouldn't I want to be stuck in the car with? Well, the sports celebrity Roberto Luongo.
Rock's answer would be Tim Tebow.
I hate Tim Tebow. Do you want to be stuck in a car with Justin Bieber, Tim?
No.
You know what? I would, only because I plow the car into a nearby tree, killing the little shit.
Sabotage the safety belt while you make sure yours is double secured.
Pretty much.
Oops, a deer crossed the road and I swerved to miss him, eh?
Just happened to hit a light pole.
So you're just sticking with your sports celebrity, not just celebrity in general?
Well, I'm sure there are a lot that I can't think of at the moment, so fuck it. Move on. I'm done.
Okay. Now, Omega, you have to blame Lindsay for this tough question.
No wonder she didn't call it.
So, the toughest question you've ever been asked. What would you do for a Klondike bar?
What would you do, woo woo, for a Klondike bar?
I'd pay $3.49 at Publix like everyone else. What do you mean what I do? I'd hear another 6 months of Kane Kitten's "What horrible thing will Omega do this week?" questions.
Give that man a Klondike bar.
I'd stop playing Skyrim for the day.
Shut up!
Seriously?
Seriously?
Alright, somebody needs to send him Klondike bar.
What if I send him a case? Does that mean for each bar he's going to stop playing for a day?
Yes.
Okay, you
everybody, I want you to go out and buy as many Klondike bars as you can.
No.
I know where I can get a good price on them.
Oh, of course you do.
Mace, you said if you could. So you figure out how to get frozen Klondike bars from Australia to Florida, and then we will have a deal.
Okay, Mace, I'll give you the phone number of a wholesale distributor that's in Florida. They have refrigerated trucks.
That does not count.
That counts. You didn't say they have to come from Australia. Sorry.
Don't you just love quick hits?
Well, so I never said I'd be buying them in my own country.
Nothing in that entire deal said that they had to come from Australia. I'm sorry. That's the rule.
It just means that Australian has to pay for it, which was quite easily.
So I guess
you got to remember, I can do it too. I have your address.
You wouldn't do it.
Do it. Do it.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
Pay the money for it.
Hey, you know what? I'll chip in $5 for the Klondike Bar Fund. How much would you chip in, Rock?
I'll chip in $5.
Okay, Mace?
It's So that leaves me with how much to pay.
We'll find out after the show.
Chip in $5, Mace.
No, he has to pay the rest.
No, just trust me. Just chip in $5. Okay, Jersey Girl, how much are you going to chip in? Real Cane Kittens, what are you chipping in?
Lindsay will chip in.
Lindsay, how much are you going to chip in? No, I'm not going to buy you an island jersey because you're not chipping in.
So if he chips in, we're buying an island. You're buying an island for us.
You better chip in enough.
Not chipping in shit.
I would hope that you're not chipping in shit. I don't take that as valid currency. It's fertilizer. And you can make an explosive out of it. All right, that's enough. Hey, everybody, you've been listening to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're on some FBI list now because you mentioned making bombs. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, shit happens. It's the interwebs. You can't trust anything you hear or read. I mean, we all know it's not that reliable. An information source.
What?
Don't believe everything you read on the internet. It's not always true.
Hold on, but I believe this. Omega, you've been ordered. I've been told by Lindsay, make that bitch get out on the corner and burn those bars.
Lindsay, you are so going to regret that.
Uh-oh, I can see a month's worth of intense dictation coming up. Everybody, come on back to the Wild Talk Radio tomorrow night for the Raw post-show on immediately following Raw. That's why it's called the post-show, genius.
Yes, we talk
Raw. That's right. Rock and Linz and Mace are going to talk wrestling and what happened on the three-hour Raw.
Yes,
week three.
We will. 3 hours of Raw. If you survive, join us 11:30 p.m. Eastern right after Raw.
Yeah, it's the only thing to do on a Monday night, so you might as well tune the freak in and tell everybody else about it. Tuesday night, Alan Wojcik goes at it. Yeah, once again, he's got people that he interviews, Rock.
Steve Corino will be on the program.
Oh, my God, no.
Yes.
More stories about dressing up like Hulk Hogan when you were a kid, courtesy of Spug, if he survived.
If he survived. And you also hear Spug stories if he survived.
Spug stories, provided he survived, about how Spug survived and how pissed off he is at Mace for talking to Cassidy. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network where they just basically talk about wrestling, believe it or not. Amazing. Thursday night.
Hold on.
What?
On the program this Wednesday night, Joe E. Legend.
Oh, Joe E. Legend. Well, they actually have a guest. I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
Pay attention to him. Just pay attention.
No, shut up. Paying attention takes effort. And I'm broke. Thursday night, Lindsay does the rack. And I'm going to talk TNA. No special guest this week, I take it.
As of tonight, no.
But maybe. You never know. Stay tuned to the website and check out Facebook or Twitter or both. To find out, because, hey, a rabbit could be pulled out of the hat like it usually happens here on the website. That's The Rack, Thursday night at what time?
11 p.m. Eastern, as we recap Impact, preview Hardcore Justice, more in detail like we did tonight, and a whole bunch more. It's The Rack, Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Saturday night, around midnight Eastern time, or as close as they can get to it, the bastards. It's CB Radio.
Yes.
And they're going to talk evil twists in TV shows and movies.
Only if Tim Stein calls in.
I'll be on the road.
And in our problem.
No, literally, on the road. I'll be just, like standing there on the road.
Yeah. Continue.
Have you got anything at all planned for Saturday?
I just finished the show last night. I don't know about the show this week yet.
Planning. Proper planning kills, I'll tell you what. Next Sunday night, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, takes to the airwaves again. Talk about the pay-per-view.
Yes, live right after the pay-per-view, get complete reactions and thoughts and opinions from all of us as we watch TNA Hardcore Justice. So check us out.
Absolutely. once again, thank you very much to PWmania.com for embedding our player onto their website. Everybody, once again, I'm shilling because this is what the agreement says in writing. Check out PWmania.com for all of your news and information. Also, don't forget, we're sponsored by iBlack, www.iBlack.com. Hey, it's the athlete's choice for iBlack, custom iBlack. Do us a favor, click the banner, check them out. We're not asking you to buy anything. Just click the banner and go to the website. Take a look at what they've got to offer. That's iBlack.com. That being said, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Hold on. We got other things to plug.
Shut up.
Yes, we do. You can check out WTR Riffs at wildtalkradio.com/WTR Riffs.
Don't talk about riffs.
We have a couple of new ones up there and a couple of new ones coming this week and many more to follow. It's WTR Riffs. You can check out WTRProductions.net, CanadianAllPro.com, PsychWarDesigns.com, TJOmega.org. At the Mace thing, at Wild Talk Radio, at TJ Omega. Tim doesn't do Twitter, but it's at Canadian All Pro, at Lynn's Word, at King Kittens. Now I'm done.
Now you're done. It's about freaking time.
And
everybody
thought WWE shill Twitter.
Oh my god, yeah. Everybody thinks it's running.
We were doing it before. It was cool.
Damn right.
That's right. And even afterwards, thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next Sunday right after pay-per-view right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wild Talk Radio Network, where we value your opinion and not censor it.
Shut up. Who asked you?